At Wildwood Community Church, we are for following Jesus together to the glory of God. We're for the church, for the community, for the nations, and for the next generation. To contact us or for more information, see our website at wildwoodchurch.org.
Well, friends, if you have been with us over the last number of weeks, you know that we have been walking through a sermon series called Speak Plainly. This series walks through a sermon that Jesus preached, the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. Called the Sermon on the Plain because he preached it from a flat place. And so it's the Sermon on the Plain. I was talking to someone last night, and they were indicating that they have enjoyed this series of messages. And my response was simple. I'm glad you enjoyed Jesus preaching because we're just reading his sermon in the midst of this series. And certainly, we are blessed by the words that Jesus offers here. And so today, we're going to be in part 5 of this series as we look at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. I want to read those verses for us in a second. But before I do that, I want to set the table for this conversation by reminding or introducing to some of you a scene from the 1986 movie, The Three Amigos. In this movie, there are three heroes. There's Ned Niederlander and Dusty Bottoms and Lucky Day. And they are going someplace that they had never been before. And so they get directions that they're to go out into the desert until they come upon a singing bush. And when they find the singing bush, they will get their direction to their destination. So they go out into the wilderness, but they don't know for sure what the singing bush looks like. So they're looking at all of the plant life as they're riding along in the desert. And eventually they come upon a bush that is singing quite loudly. I mean, this bush is singing American folk songs. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. And so our heroes see what is happening in front of them, and Ned hops off his horse, and he walks over to the bush, and he says, "Excuse me, are you the singing bush?" But the bush doesn't respond. Apparently, it has a voice but no ears, and so it just keeps singing. So Lucky hops off his horse and comes over and says a little louder, "Hey, are you the singing bush?" But the bush doesn't slow down. It just keeps singing louder and louder. Eventually, our heroes look at each other and says, "You know what? It's my guess that this is the singing bush." Now, this scene, though utterly ridiculous, illustrates a very important point. What is on the inside of us ultimately comes out. This is something that our world today will argue with a bit. You'll hear people today say something like, you can't really tell who someone really is. And there's a dose of humility in that. Certainly, we don't know all of what is in someone. But Jesus wouldn't agree with the statement that we can't tell who someone is by observing their life. As a matter of fact, what Jesus would say is that what's on the inside of us ultimately will show up on the outside. He makes this comment clear in the verses we're getting ready to read in Luke 6. To say it another way, Jesus says, if the bush sings, it's a singing bush. So let's read what he says in his words. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. Jesus says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Now, friends, in these verses, I want us to see two things before we get to witness these baptisms and hear these stories this morning. So what do we need to see from these verses? The first thing I want us to see is that Jesus is challenging us to check our conduct. To check our conduct. Now, again, these are comments that Jesus makes inside of the Sermon on the Plain. So what is the context of this sermon? If you've been with us in 2026, you know as we've been walking through this, we remember that Jesus launched his public ministry in Luke chapter 4. And it was all over the Galilean region that Jesus was revealing his identity through his sermons and through his actions. Not only did Jesus launch this public ministry, but eventually he calls to himself 12 apostles who not only will assist him in his ministry in his earthly life, but also would carry on his ministry once he ascended to heaven. And then in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, Jesus preaches a message to his disciples, to the 12 apostles, but also to a number of others who were committed to following him. We know this because in chapter 6, verse 20, it says that Jesus preached this message. He lifted up his eyes and he sees his disciples and he begins to preach this message to them. So this is a message for those who are following Christ. And if we are here today and you're following Christ or you're curious about what it looks like to follow Christ, Jesus here is speaking to us. Now, this is the context of this message. But what's the content of it? Well, just as a review, over the last month as we've walked through the Sermon on the Plain, what we have seen is that Jesus begins this sermon by saying that following him may lead to a life that is difficult now but is rewarded later. And then he calls us to live this out-of-this-world ethic, loving our enemies, praying for those who mistreat us in chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. And then last Sunday, we saw that he says that we are to live a life that is marked by forgiving and giving instead of a life that is marked by judgmentalism and condemnation. After all of these things that he has said, we finally find ourselves in the verses that are our subject of today's message, where Jesus says that private transformation ultimately leads to public presentation. In other words, when God really gets a hold of our hearts, those around us will ultimately see it. They will know it. They will experience it. Now, in the first century, as well as today, there's somewhat of a debate about whether our faith in Jesus is something that is private or is it public. In Jesus' day, there were those who championed the public presentation of their piety. And those, of course, were the Pharisees. They were primarily interested in the public presentation of their faith. They were interested in you recognizing how religious and righteous they were. And they did many things in order to make you think that. They were interested mostly in a public presentation. Now, if we were to bring a Pharisee from the first century up onto the stage today and begin to ask them questions, I'm confident that they would want to talk about how there were deep waters flowing in their souls as well. But their practice indicated that they were far more interested in the externals than the internals. That's why Jesus famously called them on a number of occasions hypocrites. Because what is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is an actor. Someone that is acting like something that they are not. The Pharisees were acting the part. They were interested in the externals, not so much the internals. But there were also those in the first century and today who were not just interested in the public presentation of their faith, but were more interested in the private presentation of their faith. These were really the philosophers of their day. They had a number of different groups. Gnosticism was one of them. But these were people who believed that there was this private, personal knowledge of God that was most important. And what it meant to follow God was really just a frame of mind. But where did Jesus fall inside of this? Was Jesus more like the Pharisee or was he more like the philosopher? Was Jesus more interested only in the public presentation of our faith or was he interested in the internal presentation of our faith? Well, he was interested in both the private devotion to him and to God, but also in its public demonstration. Jesus combines these two and doesn't let us sit on one side or another. That's why when he begins to share this story in Luke chapter 6, he gives an example to help us see that who we really are ultimately will show up in how we live. And he uses here an example from agriculture. He basically says that you know what kind of tree it is, but by what kind of fruit it produces. How do you know which tree is an apple tree? Well, Jesus would say, wait around long enough and see if it makes any apples. How do you know if it's a fig tree? Wait around long enough and see if it makes any figs. How are you going to know if it's a grape tree? Wait around long enough and see if it produces any grapes. In a similar way, Jesus uses this illustration to say that who we really are will show up in our behavior, in our conduct. He says, you want to know someone who's truly connected and following me? Wait around long enough and see if they produce my kind of fruit. See if they produce a gracious attitude in forgiving others. See if they pray for their enemies. See if they produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and not a litany of other sins predominantly. Well, what Jesus is saying is he says that what is happening on the inside of us will ultimately show up on the outside of us. The private life ultimately shows up in public. Now, when I say all of this, it's possible for us to want to race ahead. We're like, yes, recognizing fruit identifies what is going on in someone's life. So let me apply that principle to everybody else I know. Let me evaluate all of my friends and all of my acquaintances so I can say that they are Christian, not Christian, Christian, not Christian, Christian, not Christian. But friends, I don't think that's really what Jesus had primarily in mind in these verses. And why do I say that? Because we need to check the 2x4s. There are 2 4s inside of this verse that helps us know what Jesus' true intention was. The first 4 is the first word we read. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit. That 4 is going to connect what he says about the trees and fruit to what had just been talked about. And what had Jesus just talked about in the verses we looked at last Sunday? He had talked about being weary of worrying about the splinter in your friend's eye when you have a timber in your own. So whatever we want to think about these verses, we need to understand that Jesus here is talking to his disciples and he wants them, as a matter of first priority, to evaluate their own life, not to judge everyone else, but to evaluate their own life to see if there is a gap between their conduct and who they say they really are. Jesus makes this call. So if that's the case, then this morning I want us to check our conduct. I want us to check our conduct. I want to ask the question, are there areas in your life where you're acting the part right now? Are there places in your life where you are merely acting the part of someone who loves God? And be honest. Do we say that Jesus is the most important one in our lives, and yet we only think about him once a month? Are we acting like he's more important than he is? Do we say that we love those in our lives, our family and our friends, our coworkers? Do we say that, or are we actually living that life out? Friends, what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to ask the real question, what is the fruit in our lives? And what does the fruit of our conduct reveal about the condition of our souls? Well, friends, as we evaluate that, no doubt we are thinking of and becoming aware of our sin. So what do we do when we become aware of our sin? We confess our sin to him. We confess our sin to the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And who is that? None other than Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Friends, today we're going to see the baptism, and we're going to hear the testimonies of 7 in this service who have placed their faith and trust in Christ. But friends, we're not watching their baptism because they are perfect. They are the 7 perfect among us. No, these 7, like all true Christians, are being baptized because just the opposite. They recognize that they're a sinner in need of the forgiveness that is only found in Christ. And they have confessed their sin to him. And they're being baptized today as a symbolic expression and reminder of what God has done, forgiving their sin in Christ. So the first thing we do is we evaluate our own lives. We see if we're acting in some way. When we find this gap between our behavior and God's best, we confess our sin to him. And then we see his new life produce new fruit in us. Now, this takes time. You know, if you go to an apple tree in October, it may not have any fruit on it. But if you wait till the spring and summer, you might reap an abundant harvest. Friends, if you have a relationship with Christ, it doesn't mean that your life will have a perfect expression of his fruit, but it does mean that over time it comes. I say that just as a way of encouragement to you today, if your harvest is less than you would hope at this moment, and certainly as an encouragement today to be gracious, not only to yourself, but to others as we wait for his fruit to manifest in our and their lives. See, the first thing Jesus does in this message is he calls us to check our conduct. There's a second thing that Jesus calls us to do, not just to check our conduct, but also to check our conversation, to check our conversation. Now, we see this, not just that Jesus wants us to be aware of what we do, but also what we say. And the example he uses to make this clear is not one from agriculture, like it was with the tree and fruit, but this one is from the world of banking and a treasure house. And he basically says that there is a treasure inside of our lives that we draw from when we speak. Just as you have to have money in a checking account or a saving account in order to be able to pay for the things that you purchase, so also from the bank of your heart, so come the words that you speak. And so what we say is a revelation of what is on the inside of us. Now, J.C. Ryle makes this comment. He says, when someone's tongue is generally wrong, it is absurd, no less than unscriptural, to say that their heart is right. In other words, our words are not just sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true, is it? Why does it sting so much? Because our words come from things that we think, things that we believe. So we need to take a moment and not just evaluate our conduct, but also to evaluate and check our conversation. Take some time and audit your words. What does what you say reveal about what you really think and believe, about who you really are? Again, if you say in your head, well, I love my family, but all I ever do is speak negatively of them, then you really don't love your family. If you say that you love the Lord and yet you never spent any time talking about him or his impact in your life, then how important to you is he really? Audit your words. Your words will help you understand more of what is really going on in your heart and life. And just like our conduct, when we evaluate and audit our words, we realize that there's a gap between God's greatness and what we say and how we live our lives. And so what do we do when we recognize this gap between what we say and what we hope to be? Well, we confess our sin to him. Once again, we drop to our knees and we confess what our words are revealing about the condition and state of our soul. And as we confess that sin, we are thankful for the forgiveness that comes because of Christ. And, you know, Baptism Day is a great day to remember this, because across our services, we have 18 people who are being baptized. We get to hear 18 stories of what God has done in their lives. Why do we have them share their testimonies? Well, one of the reasons why we have people share testimonies before they're baptized is so we are all reminded that you're not baptized just because you turn a certain age. You're not baptized just because of who your parents are. But you're baptized upon profession of faith in Christ. We believe that's what the Scripture teaches. And so as people are baptized today, with their words, they will reveal what is going on the interior of their lives. They'll express their thanksgiving to God for his work, and they will talk about how Jesus is their Savior. Listen for that today, again and again, and then allow their example to inspire you to speak and lift up the name of Jesus with your words this week as well. See, friends, Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain begins to conclude the message. We'll conclude our study of it next week, But he begins to conclude the message by challenging us to check our conduct and to check our conversation.